This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zada's. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back now on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you like to get in here. Brandon Brooks, former Texan, Brandon Brooks, a tore his Achilles, as first reported by Holly. So he is out for the season. That's a blow to. That's another one, Lance. The Brandon Brooks thing. That's another one, Dell. The Brandon Brooks thing. That's a guy that just could not get along and did not like. You remember his comments after he went to Philadelphia about playing for Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, it wasn't very complimentary. No. And we've seen that. Not for every player. Not every player leaves and takes a shot, but it hurts a little bit more because Brandon Brooks was a player, mid-round draft pick, and people were like, oh, Brandon Brooks is gone, and he's become a really good player.
Yeah.
For the Eagles, part of a championship roster.
He was another one that could not get along with OB.
Mm-hmm. That's what we just said.
yeah, no, but I'm
he's reaffirming.
That. Yeah, I was just confirming.
You're confirming.
NFL.com's Lance Zierlein is confirming.
Yeah.
You know how ESPN does that?
Report.
ESPN will confirm someone else's report. That's what Lance just did.
I just confirmed it.
Well, look at it's amazing though. It's really good players because Brandon Brooks turned into a how would you like to have Brandon Brooks now? And of course you'd have to be paying him right now, but you're paying Zach Fulton. By the way, you could have had Zach Fulton on the last year of his deal instead of you extended him. Zach Fulton is better be great for about 2 or 3 years now, because you're as opposed to just being able to get rid of him, keeping that money the same and getting rid of him after this year. Apparently he's so good that he's going to be here for years to come, but maybe he will. I don't know. They like him, so there you have it. But how'd you like to have Brandon Brooks on this line right now if the coach could get along with really apparently it's really good players that coach has a real problem with?
Unfortunately, but I can't remember, because that was early on in the process. I can't remember what the issues were, but I know there were some real issues there. I had somebody who used to be with the team tell me that they didn't exactly speak glowingly of Brandon Brooks.
Here was Brandon Brooks' quote: "Bleep was miserable." That was in reference to his time with the Texans and Bill O'Brien.
So he didn't have beers or anything with them?
No.
Okay, well.
It's crazy that people haven't known this. He was talking to an Eagles blog. It's been this way for like a decade. You've seen Reggie Wayne did it. He retired. He went there to the Patriots for training camp, retired. Bleep, it's not fun there. I was under the same regime in Houston with O'Brien. I almost retired. Bleep was miserable every day.
Wow.
when did he say that?
This was May of 2018.
Yeah,
this was after the Super Bowl. Remember, Lane Johnson was making comments about the Patriots.
Yes,
how it's not fun. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. How it's not fun.
Uh-huh.
And you know that's the Patriot way. It's not supposed to be fun.
Well, I think
and
fun
Bill O'Brien took that with him to Houston.
You ever see Deshaun do the first down thing after he gets a first down where he like points?
You ever see him play the guitar?
Yeah, does any of this look fun?
When he makes a play, he rubs his finger under his nose.
Yeah, all this looks fun.
All that's fun.
All this is fun. So Rick, I don't know what Brandon Brooks is talking about.
Does he know that Bill O'Brien listens to Rick Ross? Is Brandon Brooks aware of that?
He was there for Hard Knocks, so yeah, he should be.
He should know how fun that man is to play with. I mean, not if you're a Denver fan. It's not fun if you're a Denver fan.
No. And you know what? It shouldn't. Well, actually, it was a lot
It was
of fun
that day, but maybe not at that particular that instance right before he walked into that locker room. Wasn't fun.
31-3? Fun?
It was fun for the fan, but you don't want to get yelled at by a guy.
Yeah, that Denver
like that
fan who was yelling
Denver
at the
fan
coach. Because you know what makes a lot of sense? A Denver fan on the road screaming at a coach as he goes into the – because the rest of the fans who had their brains beaten out that half, they were fine. They were docile, weren't saying anything to the team like, well, we'll get them the next half, boys. Keep up that fighting spirit, and let's do it for the Houston Texans the next half.
You remember there was a time where that was looked at as something like, wow, man, I love that from Bill O'Brien, that fire. Remember that was sold on a particular station about how it shows how fiery.
Shows that he cares.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak obviously never cared.
Because he would never yell at a fan like that.
That's caring?
Yes.
Or that's
throwing
out of
trash
control.
Throwing cans around if you're a baseball manager.
Or that's out of control.
Remember baseball, you care if you kick things around and scream at everybody. A.J. Hinch doesn't care because he doesn't get mad enough, I guess. That's the most played out thing ever is that you got to act like a complete bleeping moron. And scream and yell and throw things around means that you care. Like, I like a guy with a little fire. Yeah, a guy with a little fire is great until he's always on fire. And it's always an issue. And there's always conflict. And it's always drama. Then it's not. Give me the smooth, steady hand of A.J. Hinch, who will go out and get in an umpire's ass when he needs to. That's why, I mean, he was a revelation. And frankly, Mike D'Antoni's fine like that. Mike D'Antoni will complain about stuff, but he's not a stark raving lunatic at all by any stretch of the imagination.
No, except with his playoff rotation.
Now, Dusty's going to get into it a little bit more. Dusty's going to get a little more heated than A.J. Hinch. I mean, well, theoretically. Is there a chance Dusty never manages a game with the Astros? And if that happens, does he count as Astros manager?
Does he get paid?
Yeah, he was hired.
You know what? Spring games, too.
If he never manages a game, does he get paid?
Was Mike Price ever the head coach at Alabama?
Yeah, he's on their list.
Yeah, he's on the list. 0-0. 0-0.
No, see, I'm not. Can't. Mike Price never coached at Alabama. Oh.
He was hired as the head coach at Alabama.
Dusty is officially manager, I guess, because of spring games. Is there a chance that Dusty Baker never manages a major league game for the Astros?
Yes. Yes, there's a chance. Yes. And yes, absolutely.
Is because there a chance that A.J. Hinch manages another game for the Astros?
Yes, I would say there's a chance. I'd say it's a small chance. I say about a 2% chance.
If there's a 55-60 game season, will Jim Crane tell Dusty he can't have all his toothpicks because he has to buy masks and sanitize the building?
He can't have toothpicks anyway. There are no toothpicks.
Yeah. Will Dusty sneak a toothpick in a game by holding his hand over his mouth the whole time?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Dusty has continued to have his hand over his mouth as I think he's calling out signals that he doesn't want lip readers to read. And then someone else is going to snitch and get a side shot where Dusty's just got a toothpick in there. You ever have cinnamon toothpicks when you were a kid? Did anyone? You probably didn't
have those. I've had those.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you ever have them, John?
I don't remember.
Only from restaurants, I think.
Right? From restaurants? When I was a kid, now I lived in, Richmond, Rosenberg, Fort Bend County, so we did things different.
Uh-huh.
But there were two different things that got sold at the school. Wasn't weed as much as it was beef jerky and cinnamon toothpicks. And the beef jerky clan was the Ools. John Ool. I don't know all the Ools.
John Ool?
John Ool.
John Oob.
Ool.
Hey, John Oob.
Not John Oob. And so beef jerky, you would go and like spend how much for that beef jerky? They would come and this guy would have distributors where there were 8 or 9 different people who would have paper bags of beef jerky. The Ool beef jerky ring was deep.
Selling that bland?
Oh, I swear to God. Oh, Pete's Fine Meats, he has Ool beef jerky now.
Was like, it variety types? Were the beef jerky?
Not at the time. There was no teriyaki flavor.
No sweet and spicy beef jerky?
No, it was just beef jerky. It had a little heat in it. And then there was a cinnamon toothpick
of Richmond Rosenberg.
Yeah, you heard him.
Yeah.
Oh,
and there was also a cinnamon toothpick ring.
Beef jerky deals.
Yeah, but the beef jerky was dumb. You would give away your lunch money for beef jerky. For sure. Oh, man. It was beef jerky? Are you kidding? And that,
are you
that family
kidding me?
Was,
okay. Which is tougher? Lance's brisket.
Oh, no.
The beef jerky.
Oh, no.
The beef jerky. And the Ools would fight you at parties out in the country, too. But cinnamon toothpick ring was about 10 toothpicks that have been soaked in, I guess, cinnamon oil, and then they put them in not saran wrap, but Reynolds wrap into aluminum foil, and then wrap it up, and they would distribute in these.
Distribute?
Yeah. They would say, I got these $1, I got these.
Did you have
toothpicks.
To do something for a toothpick?
No, you had to pay for it.
Are you you didn't have to do anything like.
No, you didn't have to suck anything or do anything like that, Dell.
You're talking about them like they're cigarettes in prison.
No, you didn't have to. Strawberry was the neighborhood home.
I'm trying to figure out what you had to do for these cinnamon toothpicks.
You didn't have to
toothpicks.
Do anything. You just had to come with the $1 bill and just be
did
like.
Did someone ever ask you. What you doing with that mouth, though?
No, you just had to put the money in study hall, like put the money on the desk. the money on the desk, and I'm gonna put.
Hey,
the
you're gonna have
toothpicks.
To take that cinnamon toothpick out first.
Boom, and you got the cinnamon toothpick.
Hey, you want this beef jerky? Hey. Show me what that
no
mouth
one made dude. You do anything for beef jerky, Dell.
you're making it sound like a criminal organization.
Cash. These aren't like crack hoes. It's not like you
I don't know.
Do stuff.
You're talking about it like
no.
You are
jerky
crack
hoes.
Yeah, maybe you're a jerky hoe.
Jerky hoe.
A toothpick
hoe. Is anyone doing anything for weed?
Were you guys the original jerky
boys? That's what it was
boys?
Like. The same thing. It was basically like a weed deal, only but for beef jerky or cinnamon toothpicks.
I don't know.
Keep acting like you don't know.
I don't know.
John's originally from Illinois, and you're from either Florida
born
or
in Florida, grew up
Los
in California,
Angeles.
Yes.
I don't know which one.
I tell you all the time, born in Florida, grew up in California.
Yeah, I don't know about this Texas life, especially for
yeah,
Bend County.
I don't know about the you jerky hoes.
Very
you're
specific.
Right.
We 100% had cinnamon toothpicks in high school.
What ask that person Allen. What he had to do for him.
He didn't have to do anything. He had to pay a dollar.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You what if you didn't have a dollar?
On? Lance, you don't know what was going on. You're like Robert Kraft. You're just going in no, thinking, oh,
going,
this is a nice, this, oh, this,
no
don't worry
going
about this.
Four hands
you don't know what's really going on behind the scenes.
You said, what if you don't have a dollar? I know if you have money you can pay for him, but would you do stuff if you didn't bring a dollar to school?
Yeah, you would just do nothing.
Oh, well.
Who needs cinnamon toothpicks that
you,
bad?
You talking about them like
the
you loved them.
What about the poor kids that didn't have a dollar? What'd they have to do?
Oh, I can't.
You don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't exactly showered in money.
Were you,
well,
I would
that
tell
when
my
you
mom,
got
like,
your first Fitbit?
She'd say, here's your $2 for lunch.
Come on, man. I need that cinnamon toothpick, man. What's it going to take, man? What do you want from me? Were you scratching yourself asking for, oh, come on.
Scratching
I need
on
it. I need it. Hey, you take care of the kid.
Like the
did
Chappelle
you hear that?
Character?
Yeah.
No.
Were you Tyrone Bigsby except for cinnamon toothpicks?
Tyrone Bigsby of cinnamon toothpicks.
LZ's toothpick story sounds like it's going to have a less than zero ending.
No, there's no one. Listen, Julie, I got some really cool guys I want you to meet. I think you're going to really like them, Julian. No, don't do anything James Spader tells you to do. That was horrible.
Oh,
that was
horrible.
A horrible movie scene.
Yeah.
Yep, less than zero sounds about right.
Less than zero.
Oh,
that's what's happening, and
no,
you didn't even
Julian,
know.
No,
you're going in like Robert Kraft, thinking, "Well, this is just good. Look at do 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 do, and look what's going on behind the scenes
for
okay?
cinnamon toothpicks and beef jerky."
Stop. I don't know. You might have been really into that stuff.
Yeah.
No. Just like you. Now you're saying like people who buy weed are always having to do things. It literally was the exact same. And when people got caught with cinnamon toothpicks, the school had to say, no more cinnamon toothpicks. Because they were dangerous, obviously. And if you had cinnamon oil in your eye, it was not fun. It's kind of like it's kind of like using the bathroom after you've had hot sauce on your hands.
So the school outlawed cinnamon toothpicks.
Yeah, plus it was a whole economy going on. And beef jerky. I don't want to. The beef jerky was $2. Cinnamon toothpicks were $1.
Seems like the school is like, we can't have this type of activity because it would be fine if every kid had a dollar. But now kids are doing weird things for toothpicks.
No one did weird things for a toothpick, a cinnamon toothpick.
I don't know, man.
A lot of people, I'm finding out now, just Jeff Nally went to school here. He just said, we made them ourselves. We buy cinnamon oil.
Ask Jeff Nally what he had to do for toothpicks.
No, he made them.
Oh, he made.
He didn't make people do anything. For
ask him what he made people do.
I'm not going to ask him.
Was he like a despot? Like,
he's got a law degree. I'm not going to ask him what he made people
so
do.
So he understands power structures.
You know, you've got a guy right now who was in a literal gang in Chicago.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk about it, so we can only talk to you about it.
Yeah, right. He talks about it. I can only imagine what they were flipping. The animals. And it wasn't beef jerky.
Did Jeff hear, come on, Jeff. I need that toothpick, Jeff. Did he hear a lot of that? Come on, Jeff, what I got to do with that toothpick, baby?
Dell used crackhead voice.
I'm
is very
you,
disconcerting.
I'm
what I
got
to do for that baby is very disconcerting.
Ask Jeff if he's familiar with that phrase.
Anyone seen New Jack City is familiar with that phrase.
Let's break it there. Let's stop here. Let's stop here and now because we're not getting into what the animals were.
Yeah, he doesn't like talking about
dealing. Okay, not back in the day. Let's talk right now about the deals that you're trying to make business wise, and HR&P can help you because they're helping us. They're helping so many businesses out there. They've got a beautiful facility, and you should see the computer room that they have. It's unbelievable the technology that goes into this thing because every single payroll that we get is perfect. It's on time. It's wonderful. We've never had an issue with HR&P. I don't know how many years we've been with them, and it's just been running up. It can't be any smoother, and they just do a wonderful, wonderful job. And if you have any issues with your payroll company, if they haven't taken care of you during this COVID time, if they haven't taken care of your unemployment claims, if they haven't taken care of your PPP or your SBA loans, or if they haven't taken care of you during your Affordable Care Act with your taxes, if they're not taking care of you, if they're not knowledgeable, if they're not responsive, if they're just not doing the job or completely satisfied, because we are, if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, then call ours. 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Some Texans reportedly have tested positive for COVID-19. And Ezekiel Elliott, amongst other Cowboys as well. So Texas is hot right now. There were some University of Houston. I talked to Dana yesterday about it. And he said, he's catching some heat because they didn't test everybody as soon as they got back. But he said, I talked to 20 doctors. And they all said, great. So as soon as they leave your facility, you're going to have to test them again. So they all told him, if they're not showing any symptoms, you know what, don't test. If they have any fever, make sure that you test them for fever. If they have any fever whatsoever, then you know what, you do the testing on them. He said, but Dana said, was I supposed to not let them go to protests? Was I supposed to stop them from going to the funeral? Galveston had a big weekend that a lot of the guys were going to. I'm not imprisoning these guys, and especially – you know, guys want to go to the funeral or the protest, I'm certainly not going to stop them from doing that. So, you know, I could have tested them every single day. So we had some guys that tested positive, shut it down. Look at the Texans and the Cowboys aren't even getting together yet, and they're testing positive. This is going to happen. You know what? What the reality is of this thing is, And Dana said, you know what, in a kind of crazy way, it's good that it's happening right now. I'll shut everything down. We'll come back. We'll test the guys and see that they can come back. But this is happening right now. And you talked about it earlier, Lance, is the spike thing. You know, I'm kind of glad that it's spiking. Not that it's good that it's spiking right now, but that it's happening now as opposed to September, as opposed to October. So maybe we're getting our spikes now and we're getting a lot of immunity out of the way or whatever, and maybe it will be better in the future since it's happening now. We don't know. There's so much that we don't know about this thing. So, you know, Dana's like, I want to know all these people, how many of them are doctors, because I talked to literally 20 doctors about this and how we should go about it, and that's what they suggested. So, I mean, there's a bunch of people taking pot shots and whatever.
Well,
I think the
concern is once you know they're going to Slab Weekend in Galveston, once you know they are at the protest or wherever, test them then coming back so that it doesn't spread. That's probably the concern that people have is like, then that's when you're most that's when the biggest concern is, test, and that way others don't get it. But, you know, realistically, if a guy gets it and he ends up being fine, then he has now got the antibody, you know, he's got the antibodies in his body, and that will be a good thing. Kind of like you said, like, I'd rather see spikes now in June than in August.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not that it's a good thing. And,
no. No one's
saying
that.
If you're going to shut it down, now's the time to shut it down. Right.
If this is simple math that we're doing, it's going to be tougher. They're not going to be able to shut everything down. It's just we've allowed for a lot of congregation beyond, obviously, the protests, but also just restaurants opening. We flattened the curb when we didn't have many cases, so we took the hits financially. Small business did, especially early on. Now when it probably, you know, should be flattened and lowered so that we can avoid the overcrowding at hospitals and things like that, it's really too late now. I mean, now it's cat's out of the bag. You're not going to be able to get. There's quarantine fatigue. Like, you're not going to be able to get people to obey that. It's going to be a real problem if they try to shut everything down. It's going to be a real problem because it will look like double standards. It's going to look like you're just killing off small businesses. There will be small businesses who simply don't follow. If Lena Hidalgo comes out and says, you got to, you know, only essential businesses, there are going to be other businesses who say, nope, we're staying open.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be ugly. So hopefully people just are smart and we lower some of those numbers here. And hopefully people who do go through it stay safe. I did look at because, you know, I'm a numbers guy. We actually have done better in terms of mortality rates in Harris County than some of the other states out there. For whatever reason, you know, I don't know, but we have in general. I understand there's everyone always goes, but the testing. Yeah, but the number of people tested is static. This is the number of people tested, and of those number of people tested, this is the mortality rate. So it's based on the number tested. So one would think it would be extraordinarily higher, but it actually hasn't been in this particular state. So hopefully that will continue to be the case. Hey, you didn't tell us. You got a coronavirus test. What was it like?
Oh, it was a little uncomfortable.
Was it the big nose jam that we've seen?
Yeah, I mean, they use one of the thin Q-tips, the long thin Q-tips, and they stick it up there, up your nose, and it's a little
uncomfortable. Does it keep going forever and ever?
No. It wasn't like that first one that we saw with the Army guy. No, yeah. It wasn't like that. It was.
Are we sure,
you know,
he wasn't
not
being
jamming
tortured?
It into your brain.
It wasn't a torture method? Because that didn't look like something that's medical.
No, it did look like there's some kind of they needed information,
mm-hmm.
and so they got it out of him because that looked like it was so painful what that dude went through. No, it is it's like there's a point where you go, oh, this is not feeling great, and then it's over, and you're not, you know, but there's nothing, and it feels like, you know, and then afterwards your eye waters a little bit, and you feel like, you know, my sinus, you just knocked out my sinuses. But it's no big deal. It's really not a big deal. I wouldn't want to do it every day, but if I had to, if I need to get more tests, then I will. But, yeah, you don't have to worry about it, Lance. Now, that one that dude took.
So
yes,
it's not
that
like
one.
That.
No, it's not like that.
Oh, okay.
It's not like that. And I think, I don't know. See, but my doctor told me, I'm waiting for my results today. My doctor told me, said, do not take the rapid one. They're so inaccurate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said his lab told him we will not do the rapid test because they are just way too inaccurate.
Huh.
And the inaccuracies of these tests are amazing too, by the way. That is a real problem. And not only the rapid test, but they've had so many false positives and false negatives that it's just it's such an inexact. This whole thing is, well, everybody, there's no playbook for this. There's just none. It's so inaccurate, and people who Dana thought would have it because they had some symptoms, they didn't. It's just amazing. And all these coaches who are not, let's face it, none of them are doctors. you know, Gundy coming out and saying the stupid stuff that he was saying. Hey, you know, I don't care. Let's forget to get the kids in here and let's get them the virus or whatever, and then we'll get rid of it. You know, they're not. These guys are going by the seat of their pants just like everybody else is. Every business is. Our business. We've had – I came in contact with it, so I'm sitting at home. Is Fred still sitting at home? Is Fred at home? Because he came in contact with it. I don't know. Is he doing the show from home?
Oh, Fred did? I didn't know if – yeah, he is. He is doing the show from home.
Yeah, and Trey, apparently the guy that they did a podcast with, they were sitting in studio with him for an hour. So those guys are sitting at home, and that's the best we can do. And, you know, now just sit at home and see. And hopefully, you know, everybody – There's no game plan for this. There's no everybody's by the seat of their pants. So these criticisms again of the way that each team, everybody's doing it differently too. By the way, every team. Alabama had three more players test positive. What are they going to do now with the rest of the guys? Do they just all the guys that were around those guys that tested positive after when they had five when they first tested? They had five guys that tested positive.
Do you know what Alabama have probably three. Hopes? Alabama probably hopes every player gets it, has mild symptoms, develops antibodies, and is ready to roll. That's probably what they – look, if I could have had it and not had major symptoms, you know, as someone with asthma, it concerns me. But if that were the – I had a tightness of a breath, you know, tightness in the chest that I was having a hard – it was a little difficult breathing. Not super hard, but it wasn't great. But that was in March before we left. There's a chance I could have had. I mean, I was at the pro day for I was at the combine February in Indianapolis, where people come from all over the country. I was at there was no shutdowns. I was at Oklahoma's pro day on March 7th. So you know, there's a chance that I could have had a minor one. That I know there's a company here. We got an email that is doing antivirus or antibody tests. My son was really sick back in February, so I kind of want him to get tested for the antibodies to see if that's what he had.
I took the antibodies test. Now, it you know, what it says on the antibodies test is COVID-2 negative. That was the SARS. That was the O2. And I asked my doctor, I said, so they took the antibodies that I'm negative.
That's the bad one. That's a really bad
right. But I apparently didn't have it then, so I don't have the antibodies from SARS in 02. So COVID-2, I did not catch it, so I don't have the antibodies from that. But I was like, well, what about this one? What about COVID-19? And he's like, I don't know. That's the antibody test. So anyway, but I have 0 symptoms. So it'll be interesting to see if I test positive with nothing. I don't have fever.
What
no,
about, is it a...
No diarrhea, no headaches, no shortness of breath, no coughing, nothing. I have zero.
Is it a symptom to be an a-hole about beef jerky and cinnamon toothpicks? Is that a symptom? Because if so, y'all both have it.
That's not a symptom.
How was I being an a-hole?
No, you were especially a-hole.
Do people have to do stuff with their mouths?
I was asking questions. That's not being an a-hole.
You're leading the
saying
the
is, what you doing with that mouth, though?
That's not the saying. It's not the saying. I was asking questions because I wanted to learn about the toothpick trade at your school. That's all. And how deep and how far the rabbit hole went.
It didn't go far.
All right.
Exchange of cash for toothpicks, cash for beef jerky.
Okay.
That's it.
But what if you didn't have cash?
Then you weren't getting no beef jerky or toothpicks.
Okay.
It was a simpler time
that,
back then, Dell, in Fort Bend County.
That seems like,
I don't know.
I feel
we
like
didn't
favors.
Run around twerking in school. It was
I feel like
time,
favors
Dell.
Would have been done to get a toothpick.
No one did.
I don't know. In these racially charged times, talking about a toothpick trade to me does not sound. This is. I don't like this conversation
what?
At all. Toothpicks? I don't know what was going on at Richmond Rosenberg. Toothpick trade.
I didn't know there was a racial dividing line. That was a lightning rod of
well,
racial
you don't know.
Discourse and distrust was the toothpick. I had
what,
no
what
idea.
About the what about the ginger jerky? People? What about the ginger people? What do they feel about you trading cinnamon? I don't know. So I'm opposed to this.
Ginger
whole conversation.
Toothpicks.
Did redheads
terrible.
Protest you trading
no,
cinnamon
ginger,
toothpicks?
Not gingers.
He means
ginger.
The
spice
shaved ginger. Ginger's terrible. I hate.
Who wants ginger toothpicks?
No, nobody.
You know why not?
You know, what Jeff Nally never heard? Come on, Jeff. Can I get some for that ginger toothpick?
Ooh,
he never heard that.
Ginger.
He never heard that.
That's gross. I tried to make I dipped toothpicks. I thought I was going to be sly. I dipped them in like lemon juice. And I thought, I'm going to have some lemon toothpicks. I'm coming with something new. Zero buyers. It sucked. It tasted terrible. That's when I was like, man, I can't beat the cinnamon oil game. Cinnamon toothpicks are not going to be. I'm not going to overtake them with my lemon juice toothpicks.
You try to be an innovator, and you
found
out.
Trying to change the game. He's changing the game.
I thought I was changing the game. I had no purchase. Let me see what it tastes like. Ooh, this is terrible.
831 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So ESPN finally addressing somewhat the Yankees sign-stealing stuff. It's still not a big... Did Greeny even ask... Manfred about it?
I didn't see it come up.
You didn't see? Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, it's just so amazing how they, all of these guys just are protecting. And I don't even care if in this whatever is unsealed, if they say it's, you know, it's no big deal. But you know, if already writers are poo-pooing it and it's no big deal and it's not nearly as egregious as the Astros. They addressed it yesterday. Pardon the interruption. Here are the guys talking about the Yankees sign stealing.
Because of a gambling lawsuit, a New York judge has ordered that a letter written by Rob Manfred to the New York Yankees, that has to be unsealed. The letter reportedly discusses allegations that the Yankees use technology to steal signs and convey those signs to their own hitters in 2017. That's the year that the Astros cheated and beat the Yankees on their way to the World Championship. And the Yankees condemned the Astros and yelled and screamed, particularly Aaron Judge, what a bunch of cheats the Astros were. So in light of that, is this a big deal, a little deal, or no deal at all?
Well, I'm going to say consistent, and it's not going to surprise you. I don't mean this specific story. I don't care about sign stealing in baseball. You know I felt that way. I've had people in baseball, dear friends, scream at me and say, this is cheating. You've got to stop. You've got to come down harder on this. I don't, because I believe baseball and cheating are synonymous. Baseball has always wrapped its arms around some level of cheating, whether it's spitballing or whatever it is. So, Tony, it's not a big story to me. It's fun. Like you said, it's juicy because the Yankees were so sanctimonious. I mean, nobody screamed louder than the Yankees, and they stole our championship. And Judge says this championship doesn't matter. And it's shut up. And so the Yankees have egg all over their faces right now. And there's a certain level of satisfaction I get from that.
John, who is your favorite TV personality?
Michael Wilbon.
That's, yeah, I thought that might be coming. Commissioner, what are your thoughts on Michael Wilbon's comments that the New York Yankees have egg all over their face when previously it's been discussed that there was nothing to see with the Yankees and their involvement in sign stealing?
Michael Wilbon is an idiot. He knows nothing about the game, okay? Now, listen, Manfred... I mean, you know what? It's Michael Wilbon's opinion that Rob Manfred probably likes best. Hey, this is no big deal, everybody. Let's all stop. Baseball's great. Let's just keep on moving on. Let's make sure that we all grab as much money as we possibly can, okay? I'm in the middle of this. I ain't got time for these Yankees cheating stuff, Astros cheating stuff. I'm trying to actually play 48 flipping games because both sides are so flipping greedy that we can't even talk. That's how greedy we are and how stubborn and hard-headed both sides are that we can't even get to a table and talk about trying to play a season. And you know what? Where everybody will make money. the owners say they're not. But, well, that new billion-dollar deal they just signed with TNT, holy crap, But everybody, you know what? We're so broke. We're so broke. TNT is going to have like 3 games a year, and they're paying them $1 billion.
Well, they also need to play a playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we got to – I don't care. We'll play a 3-game season, and then we'll have the playoffs.
No, I think you have to get – I think it needs to be a minimum of 48 games, right, or a minimum of 50.
No, it doesn't have to be a minimum. We can play 4 games, and then we're going to – okay, who's got the best record? Let's go, Miami. You're in the playoffs. Let's go.
At 2-1,
Miami's in. You made the playoffs. Congratulations.
I know Manfred's the guy who's supposed to take all the shots for the owners, and Manfred, you're ruining baseball, but even outside of our issues with him, isn't this an owner-player thing, not a Manfred-player thing? Because doesn't he just take his direction from the owners as far as this stuff? So, but we can't name all of the owners, so Manfred's the one, and that's his job to take all of it. But
well, you know what? The strongest owners, the strongest commissioners are, though, that they buck the owners. And listen, Adam Silver, I talked to an owner that said, "Man, that dude's really pro player, really pro player." Roger Goodell, hey Patriots, guess what? Cook, Kraft, guess what's going to happen? Hey, Saints, I don't give a rat's ass. You guys are suspended. The strongest, and this mealy-mouthed Manfred is the worst. And I didn't think it could get worse than Bud Selig. I honestly didn't. And it is. This guy is just a shill. He's a shill for the owners. And look at what it's doing to his game. Look at I don't know. Yeah, there's been discord before between players and owners, but it's bad. It is right up there with the worst that we've ever seen right now. They don't even talk. They can't even get to the table and talk.
A spokesperson shill certainly is one thing, but could he direct the owners about how they want to spend or, quote-unquote, lose their money? Or is that something they agree on and they say, hey, Rob, go send the message to the public? Because they're the money men. What control does he have over how they feel about the finances?
Well, I think the actions speak louder than the war. I mean, he's the one that's okaying, hey, listen, we'll play we'll play 75 games, but you get 40% of your prorated money or whatever the deal was. And it's like, really? That's the counteroffer that you guys are going to make? And Manfred is standing behind that? I mean, as opposed to saying, guys, we can't do this. Or as opposed to getting with the Players Association and saying, let's sit down right now. Let's go. Having some kind of power. He's got none. He's got zero. I mean, it's just ridiculous how, I swear, I don't know that we've seen a commissioner that's his, and then this whole Astros and Yankees stuff and protecting the Yankees. I mean, it's just, I can't have a less opinion of any commissioner than this guy right now.
What was it previously? All related to this, though, right?
Well, it's related to both of these things. But this is listen, aren't you at your best in crisis management?
Me, I mean, personally, yes.
Yeah, no, not you.
Oh.
I'm talking about that's when you find out. Okay, Winston Churchill had his faults. Right. But during the worst of times, he was a great leader, and he had plenty of other faults. You know, will you find out just how good a leader is when it's the toughest times? And we're finding out. You know, Rob Manfred was just going along. We got baseball. Hey, everybody. And now all of a sudden, when you need a crisis manager, he's terrible. He's just awful. And he sucks when it comes to the Astros. That too. You know, those two things.
Do you think this – now, I will say he's been thrown in a lot. This is a lot. This is sign-stealing that has been confirmed by the team, the players. They've apologized. I think what makes – what Mike Wilbon says that really resonates with all of us, even Dell, somebody who's not a big baseball fan, is this –
no, but Dell's a number
holier
one
than now. Like, you guys really need to – I get that you didn't get caught. You didn't get – as Lance McCullers said, we just got told on. I get that you didn't get told on, but the holier-than-thou stuff, like, be careful. Be careful. And now all of us are praying that whatever's unsealed from that letter implicates him. And you know that even if it does, there are going to be Yankee fans that say it's not the same. Sign stealing is part of baseball. This isn't technology, or this is. They're already going to have their excuses ready. Their excuses are ready. There are writers who have excuses ready. We know that's going to be the case, even if there's something out there.
Well, I hope it's, you know, I hope it's more than the pitching coach was calling to the replay room, because that's what the Yankees are claiming. Andy Martino, SN. He was, the Yankees are telling me that there was a call to the replay room and you're not supposed to call the replay room during the game or whatever. And that was the extent of it. While the other accusation was, no, the Yankees had three cameras in the outfield and they were relaying in real time what the pitches were going to be, and that would be so egregious. And yet I'm going to tell you right now, even if that is the case, if that is what happened, you are going to find all of these baseball writers are still going to say that the Astros were more egregious, even though there are three cameras all focused on the catcher's mitt. You're going to find that these baseball writers are still going to be afraid to get canceled by Yankee fan. Still going to be afraid, because it's okay to be canceled by Astros. Jeff Passan is canceled, right? Here? Is he?
No, not with
Does
me.
Does Jeff Passan even know?
Not with not anyone with who personally. Thinks about things fairly and honestly. You will never cancel Jeff Passan.
No. Buster Olney.
Buster's out.
Get him.
Beat it, Buster.
They've been so anti-Astro. But you know what? You know what they're saying? So I don't go to Houston? Oh, well. So I lost a Houston reader? So. But God forbid any of them lose a Yankee. And then you lose the Yankee fans, you're done.
You know, if the Yankees lose their appeal, which they have along with Major League Baseball, they appealed in conjunction with each other for whatever reason, that this will drop on a Friday. So it'll be another Friday, I don't know how late it'll be, a Friday news dump.
Right.
Just like the initial thing, because it's the 19th.
Here's what might be better, is if the Yankees and Major League Baseball win the appeal. So that we always know that there is a sealed letter and we don't know what's in it. And it may even be better for all of us, because we could continue to say, we know you cheated. The commissioner sent a letter about your cheating. You guys were doing the same thing. Shut the bleep up. Because it could turn out that it is actually not all that egregious what the Yankees were doing and the letter is about. So it actually may turn. I may be happier if the letter is. It can remain sealed forever, so that I can always say.
I knew that was going to be the case. Yeah. You want to be able to just have plausible deniability. We don't know.
This righteous indignation that he feels. He wants that to continue. Now, if it comes out, they call the replay room. It hits different.
Saying, be careful now. We may not get that.
He loves this righteous indignation.
Yes, I want this. Yes, I do. Yes. I want Yankee fan to always have a doubt in his mind so that he can shut the bleep up. I want Yankee fan to always know our team cheated too, because we got a letter that was unsealed, and it's so egregious that it can't be unsealed. It's so egregious that the Yankees have fought tooth and nail for that never to be unsealed. That's better. That's actually better. You know what else is better too? Chastain Ford. That's right. My peeps over at Chastain Ford. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck online or at the dealership, and online when you go, it's so simple. By the way, man, I saw the Explorer Sport. Goodness gracious. I got the Expedition and I love it. Don't get me wrong. But that Explorer Sport is sport. It is one. It's an SUV, and yet it literally looks like a sports car. It is totally, totally sweet. So if you're looking for that vehicle, and oh, by the way, you get it at a great price. And here's the thing about Chastain Ford. You think, well, Chastain Ford, have never heard of him until maybe a few months ago when we started talking about him here, because they never advertised. They never had to. They had return and referral business, 85% of their business since 1933. How do you stay in business that long and not advertise? Well, they're advertising now, and they want to become the biggest retail as well, because they're the biggest commercial Ford dealership in this city. And now they want to be the biggest retail as well. And you know what? They can do it. And you know how they do it? With service and price. And they're doing that. And they're going to make sure that you get the best deal that you could possibly get. Well, they're not as big as the other dealership over there. That doesn't matter. They are giving you the best price, and you're going to go, and you'll probably meet Patrick Chastain, and you're going to be part of the Chastain family. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, ChastainFord.com. You can buy online if you're scared to go there. If you're not, it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, two exits from 59. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. Trust my peeps over at Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. More fresh beer news from Hop Drop, Houston's hometown beer delivery service. Here's good news. Baileyson Brewing Crowlers are back. Baileyson's Cruise Control Hazy IPA, their El Capitan Double IPA, as well as Puggle Fuggle Brown Ale. All Baileyson Crowlers are canned fresh at Baileyson's Rice Village Area Brewery. And now available from Austin's Jester King is their just-released All Together IPA. All Together IPA is dry-hopped twice and is delicious. So why not have a couple of four-packs of All Together, along with a crowler or two from Baileyson Brewery, delivered right to your door by Hop Drop, Jester King, and Baileyson are just two of the hundreds of fresh local craft beers delivered to your door by Hop Drop. And if you visit GoHopDrop.com, sign up for a monthly or annual subscription, and use promo code ESPN975, you'll get your first month of your subscription for free and $15 off your first beer purchase. Fresh local craft beers delivered to your home. What a beautiful thing. Get started at GoHopDrop.com. Get the first month of your subscription for free and $15 off your first beer purchase with promo code ESPN975.
Welcome. Big shot.
Hold up, wait.
Peanut butter insets.
No.
Outside. Coke. White body look like gym towels.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Question for you two. And this may be my last segment because they're shutting the power off in my building here. And since I'm quarantining, I'm not going to have any. How about I'll be able to sit here at my place with no power. The water, they're going to shut off the water as well. That'll be fun to.
Yeah, you can talk to your family.
Make a phone call.
Know what?
Yeah, you got your family to talk to. You can be quarantined with your family. Maybe call some people you like to talk to. Should be good times. Good
call
time.
Us. We'll put you on the line as a
guest.
That
too. You can also call into the show.
I don't want to do that.
Well, there that is.
I don't have power. My phone's almost out.
No, you can power up right now. Why are you waiting? Charge your phone now while the power's still on.
It's
what?
It's pre-turning off.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
It's warming up.
Warming? I feel like lies are coming from the end. Urine.
It's like lies.
Yeah. Big lies.
So AJ's coming in, he said. So AJ is going to come in if I can't go. Let me ask you this question.
Maybe they're turning your power off at 9 Pacific time.
Did they clarify what time of the day? Did they give you
time zone?
Time zone?
They didn't give me time zone. Time zone. By the way, tomorrow night I want to go to the Touchdown Club. It's so funny. A guy I know knows Mike Leach, and he said, I signed up for your virtual roundtable on Wednesday night. Leach goes, what? I'm not what? He goes, you better call Leach and tell and remind him that he's got this thing. And I said, okay, I will. Thanks. Anyway, that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Go to the Houston Touchdown Club. Find the Houston Touchdown Club website, and you can sign up and listen to Leach and Dana do a roundtable. Dana said it's going to be an hour. I figure, okay, under over Leach talking 47 minutes, and Dana, 13. Which side you got?
Say that again.
Leach talks for 47 of the hour, 47 minutes of the hour.
I'll go under, but I mean, that's a reasonable number.
It is kind of a reasonable number. It really is.
He's famous. He's famous for that.
Well, you know, because you've done it.
Yeah,
I've done it before.
I've talked to him about players.
Every coach says you can't answer Leach's call because you'll be on for an hour and a half with him.
It lasts a while. I mean, you get good information, but it does last a while.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff going on with Leach. Anyway, my question to you guys, signs a contract with an NFL team first, cap or cam?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? I'm going to say Colin Kaepernick.
I think I am too, because he will sign a backup quarterback role. And I don't think Cam's going to sign anywhere until there's a starter that's hurt.
Okay, well, this is the tricky part, right? So people have accused, does Colin Kaepernick really want to come back to the NFL? The question was about why, changing his workout to where he was in front of fewer. He didn't go by the NFL's. They wanted to see him go through an NFL throwing session, not have his own guy. They moved it from one location to another location. NFL teams didn't go, et cetera, et cetera. How much is he going to ask for? Like, if Colin really wants to play, let's get to brass tacks now. If Colin wants to play, he's a quarterback who hasn't played in 3 years. The value of Colin Kaepernick in terms of being a potential backup quarterback who right now would have to come in and compete for a number 2/3 role because you really don't have that. Even if he's been working out, he hasn't played. Is he ready to sign for $3.5 to $4 million?
Cam or Cap?
No, I'm talking about Cap. Cam obviously could sign for a lot more than that.
Well, I don't think so. And, oh, by the way, but the question is he willing to go to a place where he knows he's not going to get a shot to start? That's two things. Because can we know Cam?
Well, who are you talking about right now?
Both. Both.
Oh, Kaepernick's not going to be in a spot where he has a chance
to
start.
Well, guess what? He asked the XFL for $20
million. Yeah, because he didn't want to go.
That's right. He didn't want to go. Well, the question is he going to want to go to a place where he's going to go and he knows he's going to be the backup and he's going to stand there?
We'll see if he really wants to. Well, then that's the problem.
That's the problem with the wager. Well, yeah. That goes into the equation.
Yeah, you're right. This isn't all about the feel-good. You know, Colin Kaepernick is going to be welcomed back in the NFL. There is actually, just like you're finding out with baseball, there is always additional. It's not whether or not you're going to get the sport back together. There's business that has to be discussed. And teams are not going to want to pay starting quarterback prices, even low-end starting quarterback prices, for a guy who hasn't played in the league for 3 years. It's just not feasible.
Mm-mm. So that goes into the equation too.
I think if Colin wants to play in the NFL, he can play in the NFL. I really do believe that. Now, it's not going to be under all of his demands. It's just, I just don't see that happening. I don't see them paying him crazy. I mean, he's going to have to look what Jameis Winston signed for to go to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, $1 million. Okay, let's say we've got a starter that is in place. Which guy would you rather have as a backup?
Oh, Cam.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Cam has. Because
Cam is not going to be. The fan base is going to be calling for him.
For Cam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, the fan base.
I think Cam can play when he's healthy.
Yeah, well, we don't. Yeah, that's another point. It's 4 years now. How good is Cap? I mean,
he did that workout
where he was throwing, against air, and completing passes.
But those are legitimate concerns. Colin Kaepernick, can he play football anymore on an NFL level? That's a legitimate concern when you've been out of the league. That would be for anybody. That's for any quarterback who's out for 3 years.
Here's another one though. With Cam on your roster, are you going to split the locker room on guys wanting Cam to play or your incumbent starter to play?
Yeah, I understand that, but your question was who would you want to be the, come in and start?
I know. No. Which one would you want as a backup?
Well, I think if your idea is I want a backup who's not going to rock the – I don't think you can automatically default to Kaepernick not rocking the boat, and that's not a knock on him. I'm saying a fan base or whatever the case may be. Push from Twitter, whatever the case may be. You may have to deal with that. You have to deal with the greater media crush with Kaepernick than Cam. I think if your backups are supposed to be players who give you the best in a vacuum, it's a player who gives you the best chance to win if they come into a game. And one thing that NFL teams have taught me is that when you talk about backup quarterbacks, they've got a term called three-game starter. And they want to know, what can this guy do as a three-game starter? Is he a good three-game starter? Is how you judge backups. And I think there's no question Cam Newton, it would be one of the top, if not the top three-game starters.
Here's the deal, though. Okay, let's say it's Washington or it's Denver.
Yeah, you hurt your cause.
Where you want to get your starter. So you want to eat, and he's going to have growing pains, and there's going to be, and he's going to look bad sometimes. Is the fan base, is the locker room going to put up with Cam sitting there while your starter, while Haskins or Locke are struggling?
See, I don't understand why there's even a talk about Drew Locke, to be honest with you. I don't even know. To me, Drew Locke last year showed, I mean, he was 4-1 as a starter. 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completed 64% of his passes. Drew Locke, to me, and they're surrounding him. They got another pass-catching tight end this year in the draft. They got one last year. They are adding at the wide receiver. To me, they are building around Drew Locke. There's no question there. I think Haskins right now is the one that we're not real sure about because there's not great tools around him. It's not a very toolsy situation with Haskins. And he only had 1 year of college where Drew Locke had at least 3. I think it was 3 years as a starter. So I think there's more questions in Washington, period, than there are Denver.
But here's the deal is we know sometimes, yeah, great start. In Cleveland. Gosh,
Baker?
Baker. Oh, my God.
But there's no doubt that Baker's still the guy.
No. But he was unbelievable. Kitchens and everything else. I bring Kitchens back, and then Baker struggles.
Well, yeah, there's
no
guarantee.
There's no guarantee. That's right. But there's no guarantee that Drew Locke's not going to struggle. But if he's struggling and Cam Newton is sitting there,
that's
why the fan base is going to go?
Yeah, that's why you don't bring Cam Newton in.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you got to
be smart
about
it.
Now, Colin Kaepernick, I'm not sure that the fan base is going to clamor for him.
Peyton Manning struggled early in his career, his first 2 years. You have to have a plan in place where you say, this is our guy, we're going to build around him, we're going to let – there is a lack of patience, a disturbing lack of patience now where people are not allowed to develop. Try to develop, and if it fails, you move on. But Drew Locke, I mean, this is asinine to me, and frankly, it's kind of asinine with Haskins as well. I don't have as much confidence in Haskins right now because I didn't really see it last year. And he only played 1 year of college, and that's a concern with Trubisky and Haskins. But Trubisky has had more time to fail, and he's shown he is just a regular guy who is soon going to be an NFL backup. Haskins, I just don't know. But if you stick a Cam Newton in any situation like that, yeah, you're right. That could potentially stunt any young quarterback's growth because the desire for a coaching staff is obviously going to be, hey, I'm trying to win games here and potentially save a job. So if I want to win games here, whether it's Ron Rivera brand new in the spot or if it would have been Jay Gruden, you know, you're the first instinct is to go with the quarterback who gives you the best chance. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like you bring Cam on a team like that, and the coach's first instinct is going to be, yeah, I know we want to build and work towards something, but I'm trying to win some games.
Yeah. All right, we'll see if I'm back or not. It's 9 o'clock on the ESPN 97.5. We don't know.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.